Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Against Intellectual Property is a concise nonfiction essay by N. Stefan Kinsella that argues against the legal and philosophical foundations of intellectual property, especially patents, copyrights, and trademarks. Written from a libertarian and Austrian economics perspective, the book does not treat IP as a neutral technical issue. Instead, it frames it as a deep problem about property, coercion, and market order. Kinsella's central claim is that real property rights apply to scarce, rivalrous resources, while IP creates state-backed claims over non-scarce information and expressions. The book is short, but it aims to be systematic. It challenges common justifications for IP, questions the idea that creation itself generates ownership, and explains why a free market would likely organize innovation without modern IP law. Because of that focus, it is both a legal philosophical critique and an economic argument about how creativity and competition function. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book separates real property from state-created claims over information. A core move in the book is drawing a sharp line between ordinary property rights and intellectual property. Kinsella argues that land, machines, and other scarce physical goods can be owned because two people cannot use them in the same way at the same time. By contrast, information, ideas, and expressions are not scarce in that sense, so granting exclusive rights over them does not protect a natural rivalrous resource. He treats patents and copyrights as legal restrictions imposed by the state, not as extensions of ownership in the ordinary sense. This distinction matters because much public debate assumes that IP is simply another kind of property. Kinsella insists that this analogy is misleading. IP does not prevent theft of a physical object, but instead prevents peaceful use, imitation, or communication. That framing is the foundation for the rest of the book, since once the category mistake is exposed, the ethical and economic defenses of IP become much harder to sustain. Secondly, creation does not automatically justify ownership. Another major topic is Kinsella's criticism of the idea that making something gives one an ownership right over all uses of it. He rejects the common intuition that authors, inventors, or designers should automatically control every copy or implementation of what they create. In his view, creation may be relevant in some cases, but it is not enough by itself to generate property rights, and it is not always necessary either. Ownership depends on control and acquisition of scarce resources, not on the mere fact that a mental act preceded an outcome. This is why he critiques Lockean-style arguments that treat intellectual creation as comparable to mixing labor with matter. The book argues that such reasoning confuses the product with the underlying physical means used to produce it. Once a work is released into the world, others can learn from it, remember it, or independently reproduce it without taking away the original copy. Kinsella uses that point to show why creation-based moral claims do not justify legal monopolies over non-scarce information. Thirdly, patent and copyright law are treated as coercive monopolies, not free contracts. Kinsella also emphasizes the institutional structure of IP law. He argues that patents and copyrights bind everyone, including people who never agreed to them, which makes them fundamentally different from contract. A contract normally obligates only the parties who consented, while IP claims operate as real rights against third parties. That means they restrict the conduct of strangers who may independently discover, write, build, or sell something similar. The book treats this as a form of coercive legal privilege because the state enforces exclusive control over patterns of use, not over scarce objects. This is one reason Kinsella sees IP as economically distortive. It grants legal monopoly positions that do not arise from market exchange. He connects this to the broader libertarian idea that rights should limit aggression against persons and property, not create new powers over others' independent actions. This institutional critique is important because it shows that the issue is not only whether creators deserve reward, but whether the legal form of IP is compatible with voluntary exchange and non-aggression. Fourthly, the economic case against IP focuses on innovation, competition, and artificial scarcity. The book's economic argument is that IP does not simply reward innovation. It also restricts competition and can slow technological progress. Kinsella contends that by giving exclusive rights over ideas and expressions, the law creates artificial scarcity where scarcity did not naturally exist. This can raise costs, block follow-on innovation, and encourage firms to use legal enforcement instead of market competition to secure profits. He does not deny that creators want incentives, but he challenges the assumption that monopoly protection is the best or only way to produce them. In his view, a free market could support other mechanisms such as first mover advantage, reputation, secrecy, contractual arrangements, and faster innovation cycles. The economic critique therefore goes beyond abstract theory. It asks whether legal monopolies actually improve social welfare or merely redistribute gains toward favored producers. Kinsella's answer is that IP often serves cartel-like interests and can distort how markets allocate knowledge and creativity. That makes the book especially relevant to debates about how law shapes innovation systems. Lastly, the book argues that a genuine free market would look very different from today's IP regime. Kinsella does not merely criticize existing law. He also sketches what an alternative order might look like. He argues that, if property rights were limited to scarce resources and voluntary contract, a truly free market would not generate anything like modern patent and copyright systems. Instead of broad state enforcement of exclusive rights and information, producers would rely on copying speed, branding, trade secrecy, service quality, and contractual coordination. That claim gives the book its broader significance. It is not only a legal polemic, but a theory of how production and innovation would function without state-backed monopolies. This perspective is especially important because it challenges the belief that IP is a necessary feature of capitalism. Kinsella presents it instead as a statutory intervention that alters competition and substitutes legal control for market adaptation. The result is a strong normative and institutional claim: if liberty and voluntary exchange are the standard, then IP is not a natural part of the market order, but an exception that must be justified on its own terms. In conclusion, Against Intellectual Property is best suited for readers interested in libertarian political theory, law and economics, Austrian economics, or the philosophy of property rights. It will also appeal to people who want a clear, compact challenge to assumptions that patents and copyrights are automatically pro-creator or pro-market. The practical value of the book is that it forces readers to distinguish between physical ownership and control over information, a distinction that is often blurred in ordinary debate. It also gives a framework for thinking about innovation, copying, and competition without starting from the assumption that state-enforced monopolies are necessary. Compared with many books on the topic, Kinsella's work stands out for its narrow focus and argumentative discipline. It does not try to give a broad history of copyright or a technical policy survey. Instead, it builds a principled case from first premises about scarcity, consent, and property. That makes it unusually useful for readers who want a foundational critique rather than a compromise position or a policy reform proposal. Even readers who disagree with it can use it to sharpen their thinking about ownership and freedom. If you would like to support N. Stefan Kinsella, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.